Okay, we're going to start here in the bottom of Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Bet. The Gemara yesterday discussed the machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. The machlok revolves around whether what we said, which is true by Talit, that if you are Kor'ah and there's Shi'ir Ba'kedei Ma'foret, that it's a Chibur. But if you tear it more than that, more than the amount of an apron that's left, it's Tahor, even though you haven't ripped it entirely. The robe is sufficient by a Talit. Do we also apply that to Or, to leather? Reish Lakish says no, that it only applies to talit, but not to or, because or is chalim, it's much more firm, it's able to stay together, it's much more firm, it's able to be rectified, and therefore until you rip the whole thing, we're not going to say it's tahor. Yochanan says that the same din, kashem shebe talit, so too is the din by or, if you rip the or, the leather, by rov, that's enough, that's sufficient, make it tahor. So now Gemara has a question, the third to last line, meitiv Rabbi Yirmiyah, tanur shenitma. You have a tanur that's made out of kli cheres. That's an earthenware furnace that became tamei. And we know in terms of kli cheres, the only way to be metaher kli cheres is shvira. Now, if you have to break it, how do you do this to make it tahor? So, ketzim mitarim oto. So how do you make it tahor? Choko l'shlosha. If you cut it into three sections, that way no section can have the rov. Because if you cut it into two sections, one section is going to be larger than the other section, and it'll have the rove of the tanur left. So you cut it into three sections, we know that no section has the rove, and therefore it's going to be tahor. But not, that's not enough. Vigorera tatzfela. On top of that, you have to remove, as Rashi calls it, the plastera. You have to remove the plaster that comes around it. And that's the way their furnaces were made, like a hollow cone that had a small opening at the top, much wider base. They cut open a hole at the bottom from the side to put in, to go into the furnaces, and they used to put the bread up on the walls of the furnace, and that's how they baked the bread inside, but it kept it very hot because it narrowed it as it went to the roof. But it wasn't enough to simply have this cone. The cone is movable, it won't hold the heat. What they do, after they made this cone with the top cut off of it, they used to put it down on the ground, and then they plaster it into the ground. Plaster it both to affix it to the ground, as well as all the way up the walls in order to create insulation around the earthenware vessel to hold on to the heat that was inside of it. So now, v'gorer tetzfela, not only do you have to cut into thirds, you have to peel away the plaster, ad shehei ba'aretz, until it reaches the ground. Now what the it is here is subject to machloket. Rashi says it means the plaster that you're talking about here, that you got to get the plaster, you have to cut it down all the way till the ground. Got to remove the plaster until it's at the base. Others say that it means that you have to cut the tanur. When you cut it down, you have to cut it until it reaches the ground. I mean, you have to cut it from top to bottom until it reaches the ground. And the last possibility is, means that shebaritz is until the pieces would fall to the ground. I mean, that they won't stay together anymore. Rav Meir Omer, Eino Tzarich. You don't have to do this. Lo ligroi tetfela. You don't have to peel away the plaster. Velo ad shebaritz. And you don't need to get all the way down to the bottom, whichever the definitions we used before. Ela. All you have to do is reduce the inner utensil down to four tvachim, or less than four tvachim, and then it's no longer considered or classified as a tanur. And that's where we mayor the Shita Torah, we're going to see in a second. There's the Mishnah in Kelim, this is in Perikei, Mishnah Zayin. The Perikei Mishnah Aleph, the first line in that Mishnah is from Rabbi Meir, which says that a tanur, tchileto arba tvachim, and shiarav arba atvachim. That in order for a tanur to be classified as a tanur, it has to have a minimum of four tefachim. So if it's both from the start less than four tefachim, it's not a tanur, as well as after you have a tanur. If you reduce it below four tefachim, it's no longer a tanur. So now, kim mayit lamidalet mi atahor. According to Rabbi Meir, if you reduce it below four tefachim, it's tahor. Amai, why is that the case? Lema ha-cholim v'koyi. If the plaster remains in place, and all you did was reduce from the internal side, you cut down the tanur and below four tvachim, then you still have the essentials of the structure in place. And it's just not going to fall apart automatically. It still has what is the semblance of a form to it. And if that's the case, according to Reish Lakish, that should be tamei. That's what he said by the or. By the or, where it was chalim, where it was still in place, where it still held together. That was enough to consider it tamei until you broke the whole thing away. So why is Rabbi Meir allowing this? So the obvious answer to this question is that there are two opinions in the Mishnah. But that was Rabbi Meir's opinion. But there's also the Chachamim. And the Chachamim say you gotta pull it all the way down to the bottom, you gotta strip away the plaster. So what's the question? Samalei Rova, Veimam Midra Bonon. why are you asking a question from Rabbi Meir? Bring a support from the position of the Rabbanon. Goreret tefela ashei baretz. So that's the, Rava rejects this as a question on Reish Lakish, but now Rava is going to come and reinterpret the whole Mishnah. As opposed to Abaye who says this is a tanur that became tamei, Elo amar Rava achikamar, tanur shenit ma, ketzen mitarimato, a tanur that became tamei, how do you make a tor? Divrei hakol. That's according to everyone, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Chol kodesh losha, you break it up into three pieces, vertical cuts, v'gorera tatfela, you peel away the plaster, achei ba'aretz, v'. Now, this is where the machloka comes. I wrote, seh, shelo yavot tanur oli day tuma. What happens if a person wants his tanur never to become tamei? This is in a tanur that became tamei that he's trying to be mitaher, but mitchila, you want to make sure that it won't become tamei. Ketzad huose, what do you do? Chol kodesh losha, you cut it into thirds, v'gorera tatfela, peel away the plaster, achei ba'aretz. So that's the Chachamim. The Chachamim are consistent in their opinion. Doesn't matter if the tanur was tamei and you want to be mitaheret, or you want to start with a tanur that will not become tamei, you have to do the same thing. Cut it in thirds and take away the plaster. Rabbi Meir Omer, Einu Tzarit. Lo ligror et ha-tfeila, v'lo ha-chei ba'aretz, al mamato mi-bifnim, barba tfachim. You get it below four tfachim, it's not a tanur. And that's according to Rabbi Sub, Rabbi Meir before, that less than four tfachim is not classified as a tanur. So the question is, when are you not a tanur? According to Chachamim, you're not a tanur. The same way you're not a tanur after the fact when you're a tamei, so too is before the fact. That's you're not a tanur. Rabbi Meir says four tefachim is the geder for not having a shame tanur. But once he has a shame tanur, he agrees with the Chachamim. The only way to mitaher it is to slice it into thirds and take away all the tefela. Amar mar poko lishlosha. Is that true? You have to cut it into thirds. Viriminu. Is that really true? Here's the first Mishnah in Kelim, which is Tanur. Gilato arba'a v'shi'arav arba'a divir Rabbi Meir. That's what we quoted before. The Rabbi Meir believes that when it comes to a Tanur, the starting point to be classified as a Tanur is four tefachim, and shi'arav. In order to still be classified as a Tanur, it has to be above four tefachim. B'chamim amim medvarim amurim. When is that true? B'gadol. That's talking about a large tanur. Aval b'katan. When you're talking about a small tanur, tchilato koshu, that even the smallest amount, and we'll see what that means in a second, the Gemara asks what the koshu is, that's considered a tanur. Kish misha tigmar melachto. Tigmar melachto is referencing both a tanur gadol and a tanur katan, meaning that a tanur is not considered to be a tanur until it has a gmar melachto. That's true by all kelim. All kelim, in order to be mekabel tumah, they have to have a gemar melacha. The gemar melacha for a tanur is, once you have fired it up for the first time, enough to cook a thin wafer in it. That's enough, but that applies to both types of tanur, gadol, or katan. Then, shirav birubo. And it's considered a shirayim birov. Now, what is that referencing? Is that referencing the gadol, or is that referencing the katan? Not clear. So now, the first thing the gemara asks is, kama koshuhu. What's the minimum size of a tanur? It has to be at least a tefach. A tefach is the minimum standard to be a tanur. So we're talking about a tanur katan, that's one tefach. Shekein, osim tanurim, now the way to read this is, shekein osim tanurim banot, tefach. Right, so that's the other way to read it. Either you read it, if you look at Rashi, he says these are the tanurim of the children. It's the children's tanur. So you can read it this way, shekein osim tanurim banot, though they make for the girls, tefach, or you could read it as David was suggesting, shekein osim tanurim benot tefach. They make tanurim that are the size of a tefach. But either way, we see that there is such a thing as a tanur that's called a tanur of a tefach, and that'll be the minimum standard. Right, so Rabbi Meir doesn't have this. This is only according to Shita Chachamim. So taimo deika shirav dalid. So now the reason is that it has a shirim of dalid. Ha leka shirav dalid tahor. Which means that if you have less than four, it would be tahor. Yet, in the previous Mishnah, it's really a later Mishnah in that perek, but the Mishnah that we brought beforehand, the Chachamim said, in order to be tahor, what do you have to do? You have to slice it into thirds. You have to peel away the tefillah. So which is it? How do you make the tanur tahor? Do you have to take it below four tefachim? Because they agree with Rabbi Meir by a tanur gadol, that if you take it below four tefachim, that's enough. Or, is it that you have to slice it up in the thirds and peel away all its feila? Which is it? Amrei hotom ditzalke mitzalek hacha de'avde gistero. Depends which way you cut it. Either you cut it horizontally or you cut it vertically. When you cut it across the horizontal, then the tanur will not sit well anymore. You can't just have it. When you cut it across the horizontal, you basically destroy the structure of the tanur. So over there, if you get it below 4 tvachim, then you're fine. Because as long as you cut it below 4 tvachim, now it's not a tanur anymore because it doesn't function and it won't sit well. You can't just leave it there. It doesn't sit on top properly. Once you heat it up, it'll move. It's not a good tanur anymore. And so if you slice it across the horizontal, all you need is less than 4 tvachim. On the other hand, gistera means that you sliced it vertically. When you slice it vertically, the pieces would stay in place. You could slice it vertically and they would just sit there. So then I require the other Mishnah, which is I require you to cut it into thirds, so no piece has enough to by itself stand alone. Plus, I require you to peel away the tefillah so that it no longer can stand on its own. There's no structure that's holding it together. So that's why when you cut it horizontally, as long as it's below 4 tvachim, then whatever's remaining is not a tanur, because you can only use the bottom. The top is no longer functional for the tanur. Whereas when you slice it vertically, they're suggesting that it could sit. It would just sit in place like that. If you cut it along the vertical, it would just remain in place and function like a tanur. It's not open because they'll just sit together. The pieces can lay on each other because of the weight and the design. When you cut across the horizontal, it would not sit properly. If you cut it on the vertical, the pieces would lean against each other and you could still use it as a functional tanur. So therefore, the chachamim require slicing into thirds and peeling away of the tefillah. So that's the difference, or explains the difference between the two mishnayot. In one case, in order to be mitaher, we require slicing into thirds plus pulling away the tefillah. Those are vertical cuts. The horizontal cuts, there you require only that it's below 4 tefachim. But now we have another issue, which is amarmar. Shira birubo. At the end of that mishnah, you said that the remainder is a rov. A rov of what? So it seems to be in the order of the Mishnah that they're saying that the shiurayim for a tanur of a tefach is a rov. Because in the first thing, they said by a gadol, they agree with Rabbi Meir that it's about 4 tefachim. So that means the shiurah b'rubo is referencing the tanur katan. Well, what do we say? A tanur katan is a tefach. That's what the Gemara asks. Rubo the tefach, the maichazi. What's a rov of a tefach worthwhile for? What are you going to use a rov? We said the minimum for a tanur is a tefach. So now you have a rov tefach? That's not functional anymore. That's not a tanur anymore. So that can't be the explanation of shira birubo. So amar ebaye, shiare gadol birubo. Now the shira birubo is referencing the tanur gadol. If the rov is left over, then it is still problematic. It's still tamei. Wait a minute. V'hami rabbanon arba'a. Didn't the rabbanon say that bamid by mamurim on Rabbi Meir's statement is with tanur gadol? And Rabbi Meir said that shirav is arba'a tfachim. So if they agree with Rabbi Meir by tanur gadol, they agree that shirayim is considered 4 tvachim. Why are we getting involved in rov if 4 tvachim is the threshold? So lokasha ha bitanura bar tisha ha bitanura bar shiva has to do with the size of the tanur, 9 or 7. Now which way does it go? So Tosfot and Rashi both over here learn it lekula that it's a tzad kula on both sides by a tanur of tisha, a tanur of 9 tvachim. As long as you get it down to rov, you're fine. So if you're below and you hit 4.5, you're okay. Even though that's greater than 4 tvachim. Rov is sufficient to make it tahor, even though you're above the 4 tvachim. When it's 7, when it's a tanur of 7, all you have to do is get below 4 tvachim, even though that's greater than the rov. Because 3.5 will be the rov. So if you get it at 3.75, you're below 4 tvachim, but you're still above the rov. So Rashi and Tosafot here learn it both the sad kula, the chamim or the kula, and both tzadim. Whereas in the Mishnah in Kelim, the Mefarshim in the Mishnah in Kelim, the Bar Tanur, the Rosh, and the Rash, all over there learn at the Tzad Chumrah, that the Chachamim are saying the Chumrah on both of them. That means when you have a Tanur of 9 Tvachim, you gotta bring it below 4. You gotta bring it before, even though Rov would be sufficient to get it to 4.5, you gotta bring it before below 4 Tvachim. And with a Tanur of 7 Tvachim, we're gonna demand that you get it below the Rov, even though if you got it to 3.75, it'd be below 4. We still demand you get below 3.5. So that'll be the tzad chumrah. So it's machloket rishonim when we say this answer of the Gemara, ha betanura bar tisha, betanura bar shiva. Is that the kulo? Or is that the chumrah? Tosafot supports the position of Rashi that it should be the kulo because dolo adif shirav mitchilato. So why should its shirayim be any better than its tchila? We said before that chamim is mean bamet amarim amurim begadol. They agree with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that a tchila is 4 tvachim. So how could it be that you have a greater demand on the shirayim than you have on the tchila? I don't think it's as strong a question. We have that many times, that you have something when you started out, nobody will start out a tanur below the four tefachim. But once it's already in function, yeah, it breaks a little bit, you still use it even though it's below that level. So I don't think the Tosfos question is so strong, but because of that he supports the position of Rashi that it's shnehem lekula. Right, in Lishna Achrina, the Lishna Achrina is going all the way back to the statement of Amar Rav Huna Mishum Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yosi, Lo shanu ela sheir bakde maforet, that we said yesterday. When you rip it down to the rov, right, that only works if there's not enough of an apron left in of it. Ala sheir bakde maforet chibur, that's considered a chibur. So that's how he modified the Mishnah of Talit shekora birov. Now we have Mishnah Achrina, Amri Lo. Amar Rav Huna Mishum Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yosi, Afilu sheir bakde maforet. Even if you leave over ekdei maforet, that's enough. Rove is enough. So whereas the earlier lashon is lechumra, which means that rove works as long as there's not an apron's worth left. Over here he's saying that a rove works even if there's an apron's worth left. Now, we have the statement of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in that. Amar Reish Lakish lo shanu ela talit. That's only a talit. A talit, when you have the rove gone, even though there's an apron's worth left, that we consider to be batel. Aval or, when it comes to leather, choshiv. If you have an apron's worth left, even though you've cut the rove of the beged, it's still chashuv. Because or is more chashuv than a, whether it's wool, cotton, whatever it is that the talit is made out of. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afidu or nami lo chashiv. Or is no different than a talit. If you get the rove cut, it's tahor. Irrelevant or irrespective of what is left over. Even if you have an apron's worth left over, it's considered tahor. So etve, Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Lakish. Brings the same Mishnah that we brought before, or Tamei Midras. You have leather that became Tamei Midras, came somehow to contact with a Zav. Again, it doesn't have to be in direct contact, but either laid on it, sat on it. Whether there's something in between or not is irrelevant. Chishev alav the Ritzua. If afterwards he decides he wants to make them into strips of leather, of a sandalim or into sandals, Kevin Shinatam Bayzemel Tor. As soon as you put the knife to it, Tor. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Umim Achimit Enu Michamisha Tochim. As long as you get it below 5x5. Because for the minimum standard for Tumat Midras by leather is 5x5 tvachim. As opposed to by Beged, where it's 3x3 tvachim, over by leather it's a 5x5 tvachim is the minimum standard. So as long as you get it below that, Kimimait Miha Tahor. As long as you get it below 5x5, you're Tahor. Even though there's an apron's worth left. Even though there's Maforet left in it, it's still considered to be Tahor. That's against Reish Lakish's position. Amai, Leimo Choshiv. Let's say that even when he reduces it below the 5x5 tefachim, there's still chashivut to it because it has a kdei ma'aforet left. It says, achel ma'eskinon, the kaboylei, the moshav, zav. He needs it for a seat. He needs it for the covering of a seat. And therefore, below 5x5 tefachim is not going to be functional for him anymore. Enochanami, that if he wanted to use it for something else, yes. But his intent, and the way it's being used, is a cover for a chair. And since it's used as a cover for a chair, when you get below 5x5 tefachim, it is no longer functional in that way. And that's why as soon as he cuts it below the 5x5, it's no longer relevant as tumat midras, or having the function that it had before, and it'll be tahor even according to Reish Lakish, because it's no longer choshev to him. And remember that by tumah v'tahara, the person's considerations and thoughts are important, because what he wants to use it for will determine what its function is. According to Reish Lakish, who says that when you have leather left that's the size of a kdei ma'aforet, that's considered chashuv. That's only when you would use it. But here, where you have a specific intent and a specific usage in mind, and it's no longer functional for that, then it loses its state of tumah. Now, I think what you have to answer is that there are two different types of tumah here. There's tumat magah and tumat midras. What Reish Lakish is saying is you have to look at the chashivut in the context of the tumah. Chashivut in the context of tumat maga could be a ma'aforet size. Chashivut in terms of tumat midras is 5x5 tefachim. Once it's below 5x5 tefachim, it doesn't function in a way that it becomes tumat midras because it doesn't function as a moshav anymore. It's not a seat. It can't be used as the function of midras anymore. We're familiar with this Mishnah because we saw it and referenced earlier to Rabbi Yehuda's position in the first Mishnah in the Perek. Which is Orsh, Yesh Alav Gzayt Basar, any hide that has a Gzayt Basar on it, Hanogea B'tziv Hayotze Mimenu, someone who touches a tziv that is coming out of it. What the definition of tziv is, translation would be a shred, but if you look on the side here, the perish by the end, Mishpat, he says, perish, Hashuman Hayotze Mina Or, fat that extends from the skin, one, v'eshomrim, im ifshita or, v'nishar alav kezait basar, v'naga adam brir, and he touched some liquid, shehu kemayim, that is like water, hayotzimi basar, out of the flesh that's on there, the ve'la, has some liquid that is expelled from it, and it's coming in contact with the liquid. So the liquid, or the fat here, is considered to be an extension of the basar, and therefore if you come into contact with it, you will be tamei. Ubisara shekinegdo, or if you have a hair on the other side of the hide, that is also tamei. Before we learned in the Gemara, that's because of kalchulei mechalchel, that the hole or the follicle goes all the way through, and therefore the hair is presenting a shomer, is acting as a shomer over here. Hayu alav kishnei chatzei zeitim. If the hide has on it, in separate locations, two half zeitim, mitameh b'masa, then if you carry it, you're tameh, because you're carrying a single kezait, velo b'maga, but not in contact. If you touch one, and then you go and touch the other, you're not tameh, because you didn't touch a single kezait in one shot. That's divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Kibomer, lo b'maga, velo masa. It's irrelevant. When you have a chatzik kezait here, and a chatzik kezait there, you're not tameh tumat maga, and you're not tameh tumat masa. Umode Rabbi Kiva, Kiva agrees, b'shnei chatzei zeitim, shetachman b'kisem, you have two half kezayit that are on a toothpick, that's sitting on a toothpick, v'hesitan, and then you move them, shutameh, you are tameh. So what he's teaching us is that he does have this din, that hanosef. If you have two chatzei kezayitim, they don't have to literally be a single kezayit in order for you to be chayav when you carry it. It could even be two chatzei kezayitim. The problem here is unique to our situation. In other situations where you two chatzik zeitim that are significant, you will be chayav, or you will be tamei from tumat masa. Why over here is it different? Why over here do you say it or? Mipnei she'or mivatlan. As we saw before, the Rabbi Akiva shita is that automatically it is batel the gabe ha'or. Because the or is automatically mivatel the basar, doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what you do, there is no basar here. It's all hide. So Amar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu, our mission is only Ela Platato Chaya. Our mission is talking about a case where the attack happened by another animal, and the hide now is hanging off with a piece of basar on it, a kazayit basar, but the attack was by an animal. Aval Platato Sakin Batil. If it was flayed by a person, even if it has a kazayit on it, you will not be tamei. So this is Amar Le Rav Nachman the Ula. Rav Nachman says the Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Kitarto. What you're suggesting here is that no matter how big the size of the basar is, it's irrelevant if the person flayed the animal. Forget about a kazayit. What about the size of a tarto, which Rashi quotes as being a rova akav, l'shon mari, or l'shnachrina kof maznayim. I mean, it's a very large size. It's beyond a kazayit. But what you're suggesting here is that the only reason it's not batel here is because it was done by an animal. Because an animal attacked it and a human wasn't involved. But if a human's involved and he flays the animal, it doesn't matter how much basar is left, it's always tahor. I'm like, yes, that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rav Nachman said back to Bafilo Kenapio, even the size of a sieve, even that size? I'm like, yes. I'm like, Elukim says, I'm telling you, Bishwa, or no way, Im Amarli Rabbi Yochanan Mipume, if I heard this straight from Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Tzaitinim Le, I wouldn't even listen to him. But this is so outrageous. I mean, you're saying the name of Rabbi Yochanan, but even if Rabbi Yochanan told me it's so outrageous, I would not believe it. Disalik Rabbi Oshia, when Rabbi Oshia went to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechei Le Rabbi Ami, he found Rabbi Ami, Amro Lishmaita Kamei. So he said over this memra. Rabbi Oshia said to Rabbi Ami, when he came from Bavel, this is what transpired in Bavel. Hachi Amar Ula, this is what Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. V'hachi Achad Alei Rav Nachman, this is what Rav Nachman said back to him. Amalei, U'mishum de Rav Nachman, Chodnei de Bei Nasiya, because Rav Nachman is the son-in-law of the Nasi, whom Zalzel B'shmate? So therefore he just throws out Rabbi Yochanan, he's ignoring Rabbi Yochanan. This almost seems to be a Bavel Eretz Yisrael type of machloket. He's saying Rabbi Yochanan, you know, who's a Ben Eretz Yisrael, he says something. So Ula says something over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rav Nachman, who is a Ben Bavel, but he's the son-in-law of the Nasi, he discards Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Is that how it works? So Zimnin Ashkechei Diyoto V'Karmala Seifa. So sometimes he found him saying it about the Seifa. That this is sometimes Rabbi Ami said over that Rabbi Yochanan's statement was referencing the Seifa. Zim Dashkei Diyoti V'Karmala Seifa. Hayu Olav Shnei Chatzei Zeitim Mitamim B'Masa V'Lo B'Maga. That's only about the fact when the two Chatzei Zeitim that's Mitamim B'Masa V'Lo B'Maga Divrei Rabbi Shmuel V'Kibomer Lo B'Maga V'Lo B'Masa. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, lo shonu el platato chaya. That's only true if he was attacked by an animal, of a platato sakin, batil, even according to Rabbi Shmuel. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, will be batel the gabi the or, when a person is playing it, when there are two chatzei zeitim. So Amalei, Rabbi Oshia says to Rabbi Ami, Mara seifa manilo? Oh, you say Rabbi Yochanan's statements on the seifa. Amalei in. Says in. He says yes. So Ella Ula Resha Amrani Aleichu. Rabbi Ami says to Rabbi Oshia, when Ula told it over to you, he said it over on the Resha. Amalei in. He says yes. Rabbi Oshia responds in the affirmative. So Amalei, now you have Rabbi Ami saying Helokim. Imamarli Yoshua ben Nun. Take a shul. Ah, that even if Yoshua ben Nun told me this halacha, mishmei, lo tzaitin and lay, I would not listen to this. So over here, Rabbi Ami is doing the same thing that Rav Nachman did, and that might be the difference in the situation. Meaning that Rav Nachman, when he heard it on the ratio, said it's impossible, it's not logical to say such a thing. And Rabbi Ami has the same feeling when he hears it on the ratio. The reason maybe that Rabbi Ami felt that it was okay when Rabbi Oshia brought it over and said over what Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, because he thought he was referencing to the Seifa. When it references to the Seifa, it's much more plausible that that's the situation. But when you're talking about the Reisha, that ends up with a ludicrous conclusion, which is that no matter how much Basar is on there, it never is considered to be a Nevela. Kiata Rabin. When Rabin came, V'chol Nechute, and all those that do Yerida, Rabin's coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, as well as Chol Nechute, there is a Girt as Nechute Yama, which I don't know if that makes so much sense here, but Nechute, all those that come from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amru Reisha, they said it over from the, on the Reisha. I mean, they corroborated what Ula had said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Velikasho. What's the story? Again, you're going to come out with this ludicrous conclusion that no matter how big the basar is, it's never considered a nevela. So, could the Amar of Papa, the case that we're talking about here is bit mirudad. Talking about a case where it's pounded down into a thin layer. We'll see later on. That'll be the end of today's daf. We'll get back to this, where Rav Papa says this. Hachanami, our case over here, is a case b'merudad, where it's pounded down into a very thin layer. So Rashi says, dak v'kalush v'aroch v'rachav. It's very thin and spread out. Over there, mechim etzarif v'lehavi kazayit. If you bring it together and you roll it up, it'll be a kazayit. But right now, it's flattened out. People aren't going to do that. They're not going to collect all the basar over the stretch of the hide and then bring it together to be a kazayit. It doesn't matter how much it is. When it's in a single location and it's a kazayit, then you would say, yeah, he's not going to be mevatel that when he has a huge piece of meat there because it's significant in itself. But if you say that the case here is not a case where it's a thin film of basar on the hide, say over the whole hide there's a thin film of basar, the effort to take it off is not worth it. And therefore, it is batel the gabe the or, even though it's greater than the size of a kezayit. Right now, we continue. Hayu alav, shnei chatzei zeitim. Amar barpado, lo shanu elo mi'achurav. You're only tahor if you touch the hide from behind them. Aval milifanav, if you touch on the front side of it, yesh nogeya v'chozer v'nogeya. You can touch something, and then touch something else, and you will become tameh. When you touch it from the hide side, if you touch one, the opposite one of the chatzik zeitim, and then over to the other chatzik zayit, nothing doing, because there is no yad for pachot mi kezayit. And obviously, Bar Pado is going to have to hold like what we saw earlier on Kuf Yutet, like the Tanakama of the Acherim, that says that there is no such thing as a yad below a kezayit. So the threshold for yad is a kezayit. So here where it's below a kezayit, there's no longer a din of a yad over here. No yad, no shomer. That less than a kezayit, there's not a shomer, not a yad, and over here the skin won't do anything in terms of touching it. But if you touch it from the front side, I mean if you touch the basar nevela itself, touch a chatzi kezayit, then you go and touch another chatzi kezayit, tamei. If you're touching them with two different hands, he touches them, then they can be mitzteref, yod kezayit. Because even though he's one hand's on this chatzi kezayit, one hand's on that chatzi kezayit, that's enough to bring them together to be considered a single kezayit according to Bar Pado. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no gear, chozer v'no gear. Rabbi says there's no such thing. You can't touch one thing and then go touch another thing and be tamei. This is Rabbi Yochanan the Shita Tod. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. Amru Dovar Echad. Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah and Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus say one thing. Rabbi Shmuel Hadamran. Rabbi Shmuel we know. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus Ditznan. Kol ha-mitam im ba-ohel. Anything that will be mitamei ba-ohel, for instance. Kazayit from Basarame, it's in an ohel. It's mitame everything that's in the ohel. Shinek laku, that's split in half. Now you have a chatzik kazayit of a mate and a chatzik kazayit of a mate. V'echnisam l'toch habayit. And they're in the house. They're separate, but they're in the house. Rabbi Dosi ben Hirkanias mitayer. He says you're tahor. Chamim mitamim. The chamim say you're tamei. Chamim say that the ohel is mitzareif. The two chatzis they team to make him into a single kazait, and therefore there's tumah in the house. Whereas Rabbi Dosi ben Hirkanias says no. If it's not a single kazait, it's not mitzareif. So lav amar Rabbi Dosi ben Hirkanias hatam ein mahayil mechozer mahayil. Over there, Rabbi Dosa says, what's the reason? Because you can't have an ohel function over two chatzei gzeitim. It's either an ohel over something that's tamei, meaning kazait, basar mina meit. Otherwise, it's not considered an ohel over a single kazait, even though there's an ohel over a half chatzei kazait and an ohel over another chatzei kazait. Hachanami, also over here, in nogeya v'chozer v'nogeya. But also over here, there's no such thing as a nogeya v'chozer v'nogeya. And that'll be in the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel in our mission. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkanias agree that if you touched it b'mago, there is no tumah. If you touch them with two different hands, there is no tumah. Ah, by nasa, according to Rabbi Shmuel, when you carry it, there is tumah. You can be mitzareif them. But in terms of the nogeya, that's not the case. By ohel, the question you have to ask here is, what's the difference between ohel and noseya? I mean, we're going to see that in a second, that there's a limud from the pasuk that's specifically merabe and nosei. But here, according to this, you would have a case by nogeya. If you touch one half kazayit, then you touch another half kazayit, you're tahor. You go into an ohel where there's a chatzi kazayit amet and a chatzi kazayit amet, you're tahor. But if you carry two chatzi kazayitim on an or, then you will be tamei. That'll be the shita of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkanias together based on what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Alright, so now we continue. The Gemara says, umi de Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkanias ku Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkanias has the same shita as Rabbi Shmuel. Then Rabbanon ka Rabbi Akiva. That means that the Rabbanon hold like Rabbi Akiva. V'ha Rabbi Akiva to hurei kamitayir. Rabbi Akiva is the cooler in our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva says that if you're nosei the or, the high, it's not mitzareif, and doesn't make into something that will be mitameyu. Yet, the Rabbanon shita in the Mishnah on Olot is that if you have two chatzi kazeitim there, that they're mitzareif to make it tamei. So how can it be here? You're saying that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkanias line up in their opinions. That means that Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim line up. If that's the case, why is it that by the Mishnah of Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkanias, the Chachamim are the Chumra? And in our Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva is the Kula. No, that's not so true. Rabbi Akiva is not so the Kula. Adkan lokumaha taher Rabbi Akiva ela ba'or. It's clear from our Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva's only reason he's mitayer is because it's attached to the hide. Aval ba'alma mitamei. In general, he would say that they are mitzareif. Kedetani seifa. As the seifa of our Mishnah says, umoda Rabbi Akiva. Bebet chatzei zeitim shetachman bekisaim. You put them on a toothpick. Besitam and you move them. Shehu tamei. Umibnei ma Rabbi Akiva mitaher ba'or. Why does he say it's taher by a high? Mipnei she'or mevatlan. Because the or is mevatel them. Tosfot points out on the Mishnah that even if they're not on a kisaim, according to Rabbi Akiva now, according to Rabbi Akiva that right, even in an ohel or even if you touch them, if you know geya and two of them, two chatzei zeitim, that would be enough according to Rabbi Akiva. If he's b'shita to chachamim, there is no geya chozer ben geya according to Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, you don't even need them on a kisim. So why did he say a kisim? Because the Mishnah just wanted to create a parallel case to that being on the or. Just to show you the position that on an or it doesn't work, even though on a kisim it works. Both of them are an object that is mitzareif, the two chatzei gzeitim. So it's just a parallel case, but not that that's the exclusive case where Rabbi Akiva would say it was tamei. That's because of the nature of or. When people flay the animal, their focus is on the or, and the or is automatically mevato, any basar that's less than a kazayit on it. Because a person's intent is focused on the flaying. If you want the skin, the basar becomes irrelevant. Okay, Meiti Rav Ukvar Bar Chama. Is this really the way to explain their positions? It says in the Torah, so I read you the psukim here, in Vayikra Yud Aleph, Michi Yamut Mene Beima, Asher Hi Lachem Neochla, Hanugeya V'Nivlata Yitma Ad Arev. Then, V'Achol Mene Nivlata Yichabes V'Gadav V'Tamei Ad Arev, V'Noseid Nivlata Yichabes V'Gadav V'Tamei Ad Arev. I'm reading you Pasuk Lamed Tet Mem. The same is true in Pasuk of Zayin and Chavched and non-kosher animals. This is by kosher animals. Talking about a nevela. So there are two different types of tumah that come up when it comes to nevela. There's anogeya v'anose. But it says, anogeya b'nivlatam, by the non-kosher animals over here, it says anogeya b'nivlata v'lo b'or. You have to actually touch the nevela and not the or. When you touch the or that's there, that doesn't make you tamei. Yachol afu masa. I would think that when it comes to carrying it, you'd have the same gedder. Just like the fact that the or is not a conduit for tum'ah when there are two chatzei gzeitim on it. Because they are nitbatel to the or, because that's no longer called nevelata. That's called oro, or ora. or Oram, and not Nivlatam or Nivlata. I would think the same is true by Masat, Tamalomar, Banosei, Yitma. The one who carries it is Tamei. So Yitma is a reboy. Now what's interesting is there is no word Yitma in the Pasuk, Banosei. Both times that it uses the word Banosei, Nivlata, or Nivlatam, it says, Vechabez Vladav, Tamei, Adarev. What it must be saying is referencing back to the Nogeya. The Nogeya in the Pasuk says, Nogeya benivlata yitma ad ha'aref. Then it says, vehanosei. So the vehanosei that references back is back to the yitma that came out with the Nogeya. Because otherwise the word yitma is only by Nogeya, not by nosei. So it's the above a chibor, the inclusion of the nosei afterwards includes that, and says that this riboy of yitma comes to tell me that even though there's no tumat maga, there is tumat masa, divi Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva omer, anogeya v'anosei. The psukim are sequential. There's nogeya, and then there's v'anosei. Et shibuach ba lechla maga ba lechla masa. There's a hekesh between negia and nisiyah. If you can have tumat maga, you can have tumat masa. Lo ba lechla maga, lo ba lechla masa. If you can't have tumat maga, then you can't have tumat masa. I think the machlokes between them is when it says v'hanosei, which is a vav chibur connecting it to the previous pasuk. What does that mean? So Rabbi Akiva says v'hanosei means that the nosei is going to have the same din as the previous pasuk, which is maga. Rabbi Shmuel says no. The previous pasuk says v'nogei b'levita yitma ad arev. The v'hanosei is referencing back to the yitma, not to the nogeya, and that means that nosei will be tamei in a place where nogeya is tohor. All right. Now Tosafot points out that Rabbi Akiva doesn't need this. Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah told us the reason that the two Chatzeg Zeitim are not Mitzdareif is because the Nitbatel to the Or. It has nothing to do with Maga or Masa, it has simply to do with the rule that is Maga. So he said he's answering the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. You, Rabbi Shmuel, I disagree with your whole Limud. Even you should agree with me because your Limud is incorrect. Bimito, if we hold like Bar Pato, Me'achorav, you don't have Nogea v'chozer v'nogea. But Milafanav, you can have Nogea v'chozer v'nogea. If you hold on to the two Chatzeg Zeitim from the front, you can't have Tumat Maga. Then there is Tumat Maga Milafanav. So why isn't there Tumat Masa here? So Amar Rava Ochi Kamar, Et Shiba Lechla Maga B'chol Tzad. Something has a Tumat Maga, normal Tumat Maga from both sides. Then Ba Lechla Masa. That can have Tumat of Nisiya. Lo Ba Lechla Maga B'chol Tzad. If it doesn't reach the point where it has Tumat Maga on both ends, Lo Ba Lechla Masa, then you can't have Tumat Masa. Baminei Rav Avya Sava mi Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rav Yisava, the elder Rav Avya, asked of Rabba Bar Huna, Kuliat Stuma. When you talk about the hip bone, you're talking about, it's a bone, but probably the femur, large bone, that is sealed up, and you have marrow on the inside. So you have basar, but the basar is contained within the bone. V'Rabbi Shmuel, mahu shetitameh. What's the din, according to Rabbi Shmuel? When you're nosei this bone, are you tameh or not? You can never come into contact with the basar, you can never come into contact with the marrow. When you carry it, are you tameh? Itle the Rabbi Shmuel. Does Rabbi Shmuel hold this limud of Rabbi Akiva at shebalechla maga, balechla masa? That you have to be able to have tumat maga in order to have tumat masa. Lo balechla maga, lo balechla masa. If you can't have tumat maga, you don't have tumat masa. V'acha einu taima. And the reason in our Mishnah that Rabbi Shmuel says you are tameh when you carry the hide with the two chatzei zeitim on it is bishom the balechla maga melechanav, because he holds like bar pado that. When you do a nogeya, a chozer nogeya in front, if you touch with one hand and then the other hand, the two chatzeg zeitim, then you are tamei. Oh, dumaletle. Maybe he doesn't hold of barpado, and he doesn't hold of this din at all. He doesn't require that hekesh between the giyah and masa. He says there's tumat masa even without tumat maga. Sarmalei, Rabba Bar Rav Huna responds to him, urva parach. Yeah, you see that raven that's flying over there? I mean, he distracted him. He switched topics on him. He didn't answer the question. So Amalei Rava Bar'ei, Rava, the son of Rava Bar Rav Huna, says to him after Rav Avya Sava leaves, Rav Haino Rav Avya Sava? Wasn't that Rav Avya, the elder, Mipum Padita, that came over here from Padita, Meshabach Lan Mar Begavei, the Gava Rabahu, that you always praise him, that he's a great man, he's a great Talmud Chacham? So why are you distracting him and not answering his question? Why don't you answer his question? Amalei, Ani Hayom, Samchuni Ba'ashishot. Says, I today am worn out. I need to be supported because I just gave the drasha. I was out there giving the drasha for the regel, so I'm worn down. He's asking me something that's going to take a lot of thought and consideration. I don't have the energy to do that right now after I gave such a big drasha in the Beit Medrash for the regel. Amar Ula. Shnei chatzei zeitim, shetachvan bikiseim. If you have two chatzei zeitim that are on a toothpick, on a splint, afilu molich umevi kol yom kulo tahor. If you carry them around all day, you are tahor. My taima. What's the reasoning? Tiv v'nosei. Nosei written chaser without a vav in it. V'karinan nosei. And when it's chaser, I would have read it as v'nasa, but Rashi says that you would have read it as v'nisa. V'nisa, b'ina nosei, v'hu d'nisa b'vat achat. The only time you're chayav for carrying the flesh is when it is carried in a single kezayit. Nisa implies something that's been carried b'vat achat, been carried in one shot. So even though it says v'nosei, and nosei implies that whatever is carried, as long as it's been staref to a kezayit, that would be enough to make you tameh. Nevertheless, it's modified by the fact that the kri and the ktiv is different. And since the kri is nosei, and the ktiv is nisa, we're going to modify the nosei by the nisa to say that it has to be nisa b'vat achat. It has to be carried in a single shot, one kezayit. It's not. Of course, the question is going to come from our Mishnah. Hayu olav shnei chatzei zeitim mitamim b'masa v'lo b'maga divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Amai v'avla nisahu. That's not carried in a single shot. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say that? The nisiat ha'or works over here. It's two chatzei zeitim. You don't have it. Nisiat b'vat achat. So why should it work? Samara papa, no, bimirudad. We're talking about here that it's two chatzei zeitim that have a thin layer of basar that runs between them. There's a thin strip of basar that runs between them. So now you solve that part of the problem. This is where we had the rapapa that we quoted before. This is where the rapapa statement is said. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, if there is a tzivuk between them from Rudad, why aren't you also tamei tumat maga? Why only tamei tumat masa? Because now they're connected, and you're touching one kezayit. So Tosfos quotes something from the end of the Mishnayot in Uksin. When you lift up an item, it only is considered a chibur if you lift up the larger item, the smaller item would come with it, or if you lift up the smaller item, the larger item would come along with it. So over here, Tosfos suggests that from tumat maga, it's not enough of a tziruf, because if you would pick up the one item, they would pull apart. The thin layer of basar that's connecting them is so thin that it would tear apart. If you lifted it by that, the whole thing would tear apart, the larger piece would fall away. So it's not considered a chibor for tumat maga, but it's enough of a chibor to make it a single kezayit. By masa, you don't need it to be carried, because you're carrying it through the or, so that's fine. But with tumat maga, we have to actually be able to lift the basar, and they would be connected when you carry one piece or the other piece. Over here, they would not stick together because of the thin layer of basar between them. Exactly the case that Ula is speaking about. You have it on a toothpick, two chatzik zeitim. Rabbi Akiva says you don't even have to carry it. You just move them, and that's enough to be tamei. Amai, vabla nisahu. It's not a kezayit bevat achat. There's no single kezayit on this. So why should it be tamei according to the limud of Ula? Hachanami, the answer here again is bimrudad. Tell me about that. There is a thin strip of basar that runs between them that considers them as to be a single kezayit. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva believes when it's on the or is mevatlan. Because that thin layer that's between them, again, we said before, if you have a hide with a very thin layer of basar, you're not going to go peel that off. It's not worth your time. So even though it's a chibur, the gabei, the kisim, but over there, by the or, where you'd have to do a lot of work to take it off, it's not considered a chibur, and therefore it's nitbatel, the gabei ha-or. Kitnai, it seems like a machloka tanaim that we have somewhere else. Echad enogea ve'echad emesit. Whether one touches it or one moves it, Rabbi Lezo Omer, afanosei, even if you carry it. Talking about two chatzei zeitim, according to the Tanakama, if you touch the two chatzei zeitim, or if you move them, then you're tamei. Rabbi Lezo Omer, afanosei, even if you carry it. Ato nosei lav mesitu? Wait a minute. Nosei is really a subcategory of niseit. If you move it, then you're tamei. Of course, if you carry it, you're also moving it. So after the Tana Kama suggests that it's niseit and not nosei. Elolav hachikamar, is this not what the machlokas is? Echad anogea, vechad amesit, below nisa. Whether one touches it or moves it below nisa, Rabbi Lez Lamemar, behudin nisa. The Tana Kama says it's irrelevant whether it's a bat achat, it's a one single kezayit here, as long as you have two chatzei kezayitim that you move simultaneously or that you touch simultaneously, like barpado, then you are chayav or yutameh. V'at Rabbi Lezer let's say v'hud nisa. No, he says no. V'hud nisa, you have to have a kezayit b'vat achat. That's be a single kezayit that you're carrying. You can't have two chatzik zeitim be mitzteref over here. Well, then the lashon of the brayta doesn't make sense because he says afanosei. Sounds like he is coming to add something on over here. He's making it lakula. My af ema v'hud nisa. Modify the brayta to read v'hud nisa. Tosfos asks over here, why do you have to change the brayta at all? You could just reverse their opinions. say that the Tanakama is the one who requires the Nisa, and Rabbi Elazar says, Afa Nosei, that even Nosei to Chazek Zaytim, and it would be much smoother. The Tosu says that near the Sarah Shas, the Mesit Kuchol Inyan, the Mesit means anyway. Mesit didn't mean that there was a single Kazayat there, it meant that it was separate Zaytim, because that's what they believed the word Mesit meant. They had to go through this Dokak to change Lashon HaBraita to come up with this Machloket between them about the statement of Ula. Now we see that the statement of Ula is a Machloket Tanaim, as to whether you acquire a single Kazayat in a single location in order to be Chayav, Tumat Masa, and Tumat Haseh, or it can be mitzdareif, chatzik zaytim, as long as you're carrying them simultaneously, and moving them simultaneously, in order to be tamei.